This is Offsides. Mark Ryan and Diesel. We are the Fan Upstate rolling on until 7 p.m. Are we on this Tuesday edition of the show? Fantastic to have you guys with us. 844-326-3663 is the number. That's 844-FAN-PHONE. Preferred Home Services text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word fan and away you go. Texter says, Mark, spray the wasps, those bastards, with rubbing alcohol, and they will die. I have two that are now up there together. I need to, looks like I need to get some, like, rubbing alcohol hydrogen peroxide up in here and just start spraying them. I don't know what the deal is. It's the weirdest thing. Like, normally if you saw that, they'd be, like, making a nest, but they're just... they're congregating for no reason. It's the weirdest thing. I want them gone yesterday. Man, I hope North Carolina State whips that Clemson ass, a texter says. Ooh, listen to this. This is really low blow. The texter says, wouldn't mind if DJ got hurt as well. Texter, don't be the worst sports person in the world.
It's
don't
despicable.
Do that. Yeah, don't be that guy. Michigan J. Todd says, don't do what Dabo can do, and Dabo don't what Dome does, do you? Michigan J. Todd, my brain is not working at a level today where I can make sense of what you just said. Diesel, if you can make sense of that, let me know. I have no idea what that means. Texter says, to hear you describe it, the booster shot leaves you feeling like having watched Clemson's defense, shaking fever and not and not sure if you're going to get any better. Oh, man, the analogies, the play on words, those can only be the words of one Michael Stathakis, who, by the way, had a very prominent spot in my top five meals of the Upstate that I shared with you yesterday. The fried bologna egg and cheese sandwich, an absolute crime that it does not appear on the regular menu. You know, I would love for you guys to blow stacks up with requests for that sandwich to the point where they have to put it on the menu.
Well, you know? I'm telling you, man, it was gangster.
Like, let's be gangster about this. You, me, everybody else, okay? Go, let's have it be gangster and request that sandwich. Bologna, egg and cheese, Little Duke's mayo, toasted buns. It is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. So, in honor of Dave Doran, and I want to play that Dave Doran running back clip one more time. And this is a fascinating article here about the history of the bad blood between Dabo and Dave Doran. Started in 2015, running backs coach Dez Kitchen shoved Deshaun Watson in the back after he ran into him on the sideline. 2016, Clemson running back Wayne Gallman was knocked out of the Tigers' 24-17 overtime win early with a concussion, following a hit by NC State's Dravius Wright. And then, after that hit the next day on Dave Doran's show, Dave said this.
Clemson to just two plays of 20 yards or more on offense. In retrospect, did you end up doing a lot of the things that you felt your team needed to do in order to win?
Yeah, we did. You know, I mean, we knocked their tail back out of the game. We had two goal line stand.
On the checklist of things to do, knocking their tail back out of the game was evidently one of them. I mean, folks, there are certain things that people say sometimes that just kind of reveal their character, right? So Sweeney was not happy when he heard that clip, subsequently called Doran and asked that he explain himself. In 2017, the game had a little bit of everything from Bradley Chubb of NC State stealing Kelly Bryant's hand towels to Dave Doran accusing Sweeney and Clemson of cheating after a laptop was seen on the Clemson sideline following the Tigers' 38-31 victory. In his postgame press conference, Doran demanded the ACC investigate the situation. Then Clemson Sports Information Director Tim Beret immediately addressed it and explained the computer was being used by a member of Clemson's social media team and was not used by anyone in the Clemson football program. The following Tuesday, Sweeney joked they were in need of towels and they were trying to order them for delivery, playing off the Chubb-Bryan incidents. I want to launch an investigation too, Sweeney said jokingly. What did they do with the towels that they stole from Kelly Bryant? Is it a towel wall of fame? However, Sweeney was still not pleased with the allegations of cheating, and he was not joking when he said, "It is kind of a challenge to our integrity." He went on to say, "I think the investigation needs to be managing his side, not worrying about ours."
Get off my lawn.
That's right. During the fourth quarter of the Tigers' 41-7 victory in 2018, Sweeney admitted to intentionally trolling Dave Doran when his offensive coaches put up a cartoon picture of a laptop on their play cards. That is hilarious. That is really, really good. In 2019, after Clemson scored its final touchdown in a 55-10 victory in Raleigh, Sweeney allowed linebacker James Skalski to kick the point after. Doran was not pleased. He thought Sweeney was trolling him again, so the postgame handshake was reported as being a little frosty by a Clemson reporter. Look, the bottom line is Dabo's a really good guy. Dave Doran doesn't seem like a good guy. He just seems very, very unlikable. The mystery of all of this is how Dave Doran gets such good buy-in from his team, from his players, because he just seems like kind of like an evil human being. Bridget Condon, again, a reporter out of North Carolina, said, "I was on the elevator with these two just now. Literally, not a word was spoken between the two." It's crazy. Crazy that like the stuff that goes on between these two guys. Texter says, "Looks like I've edged you out by one win in the pigskin picks, but it's a long season. Good luck, brother, Billy Bevel." Billy Bevel's in first place. I am tied with Dan B for second place right now in the standings. Texter says, "Man, you cannot wish for college kids to get hurt. You are the lowest of the low in my book, jackhole." So says Spur Daddy.
Well, so long as you only mention him by number and not by name.
God.
I'd like for number 20 to get hurt.
Hey, Diesel, bring our audience into that for those who missed it yesterday.
So we talked about this yesterday. Yeah, there's a growing trend on social media that if a player does something wrong and you're criticizing player for the thing they did wrong, people refuse to say the kid's name as if it's not printed right there on the back of their jersey. I mean, you can include photos, you can include video, their name is right there on the back of their shirt. For some reason, you're not supposed to say the kid's name because it's hurtful.
Yeah, you're calling him out by name, right?
Like I am calling you out by name. Jason Smith, you did something stupid as hell.
Yeah.
What happens if there's two number 20s on the team? Hey. And you're throwing shade at the wrong number 20.
Hey, Nathaniel Wiggins, Clemson, number 20. You have been fricasseed. You have been broiled. You have been baked. You have been fried in secondary coverage. Hey, Trey Dean, safety on the Gators. You are the dean of nothing. Stop getting baked. Stop getting cooked.
So we're
on the field.
So these kids are allowed to collect NIL money. They're allowed to put their names on the back of their uniforms. They're allowed to have social media platforms that have thousands and thousands of people reach. They're allowed to talk as much smack as they want to. They're allowed to get as many accolades as they want to across all of these social medias and platforms. But when somebody says, "Hey, James Smith, you missed that block and you got burnt, and your guy scored a touchdown," that's not okay. Oh, that's how this works. Okay, you're only allowed to say positive things about these guys on social media. Got it.
Okay. Texter says, "I remember when Marcus Lattimore blew out his knee against Tennessee, there were Clemson fans making fun of that crap. Now a Gamecock fan wishes their QB gets hurt. We're better than this. I'll pray for you, brother, because you need all of the players' prayers you can get against Clemson." Texter says, "Dabo is a little bleeping rat. He's like the snake in the grass in your office that you can't trust." How you feel about Dabo is how I feel about Doran. We all have, like, we've all worked with that kind of dude who is like, you know, I typically get a good beat on those people. Like, I can typically see right through those people. You know, like the kind of people, and maybe there's somebody like this in every office, but the kind of people that, like, they're always talking bad about other people. And so you're very keenly aware that when you're not around, they're speaking badly upon you. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that when you're not in the room, that you are the subject of discussion.
Dave Doran is that dude. And he's shady, and I just don't understand how he gets the buy-in that he does to the point that NC State would be number 10 in America. I don't get it. Texter says, these kinds of sports fans are the worst people in sports. Not any of the athletes, but kind of idiots. So with all that said, folks, I want to ask you this. Who are your least favorite people in sports, bar none? It's clear to me that, you know, just by the way he acts, I would guess that Dave Doran is number one on Dabo Swinney's bleep list. Let's call it the spit list, okay, because I don't think that'll get me fired. Dave Doran's number one on that spit list. What guys to you in sports just drive you crazy? Like, maybe you don't even know exactly why, you know? Maybe you can't put the finger on why. Max Scherzer to me, Diesel, as a pitcher, drives me insane. Absolutely drives me insane. They started cracking down on doctoring the baseball. You know, they're asking everybody to show them the baseball. Max Scherzer goes into this whole display on the field. He's just like an overly competitive jackwagon, that guy. And then, like, I'm reading this article today, and I have no patience for this kind of nonsense, folks. And again, this is not a political discussion. It's just the matter of being an idiot, okay? If you chose not to get a vaccine, I disagree with you, but this is not a vaccine conversation. If you chose not to get one, how much would I have to give you to get one? How much would I have to give you? Kyrie Irving turned down a four-year, $100 million extension because one of the stipulations of the extension was he's got to get vaccinated. Turned it down. I understand he's got a lot of money. What caliber of moron are you to be spewing this flat earth stuff, I'm not getting vaccinated to screw my team stuff? You know, like, I don't know if you realize this, but Kevin Durant seemed to play just fine after he got the shot in his arm. And then he generally just has attitude like he doesn't need to listen to anybody. He says, quote, we don't really have a coach on this team. Sometimes it's Steve Nash, the actual head coach. Sometimes it's Kevin Durant. Sometimes it's me. Like, dude, you don't get to say things like that. You're not the ringleader here. You're an aloof moron who thinks the world is flat, and I don't have time for you. So anyway, people you guys detest the most in sports, if you have a definitive reason for it or not, Diesel, does anyone come to mind for you?
It's Eli Drinkwitz, the coach who takes a job, says all the things he thinks he needs to say, as in, I love this place. I want to be here for a long time. I want to build it. It's a top 25 program. Yes, I like being here. I love being here. I want to stay here. And then 1 year later takes a job somewhere else. Like, don't take a job at a program if you don't intend to stay there for at least a couple of years. It's shady. You know, you're using it as a stepping stone. And I know a lot of group of five programs are used as stepping stones for coaches, but 1 year, man, that's low.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. It low. Really doesn't make a lot of sense. Texter says, most hated in sports, Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt. Yeah, number one, he was awful. Number two, he cheated. You know what I mean? So, like, the parting gift that he left for Tennessee was that, you know, now they have all these sanctions and allegations and all that stuff, right? Couldn't win, you know, and so he went to the nth degree to try to keep his job. It's the craziest thing in the world, man.
Aaron Rodgers has become one of those guys for me as well. The pay me as much as you absolutely can, and then they have to trade off the assets that you have to be able to afford your contract, and then you're like, but you won't put any weapons around me. We can't win any games because you won't put any players around me. Yeah, they can't afford any because you're the one getting all the money, you jackass.
Well, that's it. And then
on top of all his COVID stuff.
They lose Davante Adams, who in the offseason was voted the number one wide receiver in the NFL. They lose him to the Las Vegas Raiders in part because of that money. And then I was listening to Colin Cowherd today saying that's the rare divorce that worked out for nobody. He's like, Green Bay doesn't have a number one option now. And Davante Adams is in Las Vegas, and he's 0-3. You know, he's 0-3 in Las Vegas. So, hey, Aaron, congratulations. I just want Aaron to realize when his career finishes with one Super Bowl that he is precisely the reason why his career ended with one Super Bowl. Okay? Won the Super Bowl his third year as a starter, hasn't won squat since. He's the reason.
I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. When he's talking about the team, he always sounds so sad. He's like, yeah, you know, we wanted to play good and things just didn't go our way. And I can't stand that guy. I can't stand that guy anymore.
I like the NBA, a texter says, but as far as the worst people in sports, just insert whatever NBA players you want to as the worst of the worst. I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. Texter says, Diesel, it's America. They leave when they want to. I'm glad the players now can do the same. Speaking to, I think, Eli Drinkwitz, Diesel.
Well, yeah, they have the ability. They're not prisoners of the university. They can certainly take jobs when they want to. What I'm saying is he broke his word. His word is, I want to be here for a long time. And if you're telling me that people's words shouldn't mean anything or it doesn't have to mean anything, then I just fundamentally disagree with you, Texter.
Texter says, as a Heat fan, Udonis Haslam really grinds my gears. Oh, this hurts, man. He's a Gator. He's Mr. Heat. He could have taken a coaching job for us 5 years ago, but he continues to take a roster spot to not even play. That's true. He keeps coming back on the team, and he's like 40-something years old. He doesn't play anymore. So it's like a coaching spot. That's cool. That's totally fine. All right, my friends, we've got Jake Crane coming your way next from the Real Daily Wire, Crane & Company. We will talk college football with him, and I will share with you guys. I'm going to foreshadow as to what my upset pick of the week is going to be tomorrow. That's next here on Offsides, the Fan Upstate. It's Offsides, Mark Ryan and Diesel. We are the Fan Upstate. Each and every week at this time, we love having our conversation about sports, about life with our guy, Jake Crane, host Crane & Company on the Real Daily Wire, 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Every single day of the week, and he joins us right now on the show. Appreciate you, pal. How are you today, man?
Doing good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing very, very well, man. Very well. So, Jake, I heard you say, I watched a video of you saying that to you, you believe right now that Clemson is a playoff team. They are your number four. What have you seen that gives you that confidence?
Well, you know, I've been as hard as on DJU as anybody out there, and I think he still has a long way to go. But, you know, what gets you there, and Clemson's had success in not only getting there, but being able to win a couple as opposed to, you know, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, some others as well. But you have to have balance. And watching DJ in the pocket, and look, like I said, I know Wake Forest hitting the steel curtain on defense. Okay, they don't have a bunch of guys that are going to be playing in the league in the front seven or there in the back end. But they're still serviceable. And DJ, the timing looked good. He was able to operate the offense. He was anticipating throws. He was putting balls in spots where the matchup is, whether it's a tight end that's on a smaller linebacker or something like that. I thought he made a lot of good decisions. Because the defense, and that was the most surprising part to me, Mark, was that the defense struggled with the slow mesh RPO. You know, one of my keys to victory was that Wake was going to have an escape plan for if the slow mesh RPO doesn't work, which is kind of their drive starter, right? That's their first down play. That's their second medium play working that RPO. And Clemson wasn't really able to affect it. But watching them win a shootout gives me a lot of confidence because they are really talented on defense.
Jake, I listened to your latest podcast on my way into work today, and your co-host said something that that struck you. You called it the smartest thing that he's ever said on your show before. And you were—I'll let you echo what he said. But you were talking about the increased level of parity in college football. First, I'll let you repeat what he said, and then I want to know how you feel about that comment as it relates to potential future playoff expansion. And if that makes you feel better or worse about it.
Yeah, well, you know, it was my brother, and he said, because we were talking about it, it seems there has been more parity. Obviously, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, the normal talented teams are very talented as usual. But you're seeing the transfer portal have an effect on some of these middle power five, low level power five, to high group of five teams. And he said, you know, the rich are getting richer when it comes to the transfer portal, but now there's more teams that just moved up to the middle class. And I think that makes a ton of sense. I think it's kind of a side effect of the transfer portal that a lot of us didn't see coming. We knew the rich were going to get richer, but the verdict was still kind of out there when it came to how it was going to affect everybody as a whole. So when you look at playoff expansion, and we've had, you know, Brian Benson, head coach of UAB, on Georgia Southern's head coach, Clay Helton, who just came over after being let go from USC. And I asked them each, you know, should the group of five have their own national championship? Coach Vincent from UAB said yes. Coach Helton from Georgia Southern said no. But I do think that playoff expansion will help parity over the long term. I don't think there is a quick solve to creating more parity at the top. I love meritocracy. I'm all for meritocracy. The best team should play. But the more teams that are able to play, and I think 12 is the cap, they're not going to stop there, but anything past 12, I worry about regular season games getting eliminated with the movement of super conferences, because the more teams that join conferences, the more conference games you have to play, the more playoff teams you add, the more playoff games you have to play. Therefore, I think we may end up going back to an 11-game regular season if it keeps going this way. But 12 is the cap, and more teams that are able to play in those big games and say they make the playoff, because that's such a big recruiting pitch nowadays, because recruiting is such a business, that these kids want tape that matters. In a playoff game, you can go from a fifth-rounder to a second-rounder, a third-rounder to a first-rounder, from undrafted to being on the board by the way you compete against the best. And the more teams that are available to play in those games, the more kids I think you'll see take chances on other schools with NIL also.
Jake Crane joining us here on Offsides, the Fan Upstate. Jake, I've noticed that, you know, some of the more astute media members, and I put you in that class, you and like the likes of Josh Pate have this skill where you can criticize without it coming across like criticism. I don't have that skill. I shoot from the hip, and it oftentimes lands poorly. Can you speak to that in terms of like being critical in today's day and age, and wanting to be a media member who is liked, but also be compelling and consumable content at the same time?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the compliment. You know, if I can do it for football, I wish I could do it with my fiance. We'd argue a little bit less. But I'm working on that. The term, you're right, I'm starting to really get good at saying it. So the more I say it, the better I end up. But that's a story for another day. You know, Mark, when I criticize, to me, and I'm not saying you do this or other people do this, but I'm not really doing it in a way that to poke fun or to jest at a team, unless it's something that's funny really all around that was meant to be funny. When I criticize, I guess I'm looking at it from a coaching and analytical standpoint. You know, what in reality is going on? Because I think we fall into the trap sometimes, and it's not just sports, but in every realm of life, where we think everything is binary, or it's just one of two things, or it's just one thing, instead of saying, you know what? Maybe the answer is a little bit somewhere in the middle, or maybe it's a combination of things that are leading to this result. You know, for example, the Max Johnson and Texas A&M thing. You know, I talked about Max Johnson during the summer. I think he's a guy that puts you in a better position to win the game. I don't think A&M is going to be a team that makes the playoff, but I think Max Johnson is a guy that gives them the best chance not to lose the game, because most teams lose games, they don't win them. So I think when you're criticizing or you're critiquing, if you back it up with a full-throated response that isn't just a, hey, look, you know, this team sucks, or these guys aren't any good, they're never any good. Well, you know, really, why aren't they any good? You know, what? Follow the timeline. Just, you know, that's about the best explanation I can give.
Yeah, it's very, very well done. Jake, we do upset picks on Wednesday each week, and I'm not sure anybody should listen to me. I haven't hit one the whole year thus far, but I did pick before the season Alabama to finish 11-1. The loss was at Arkansas. You know, I always do think it's tough to get up multiple weeks in a row. We saw Appalachian State fall prey to that last week to James Madison, not to take any credit away from them. But I wonder if Arkansas maybe now has even a better chance against Alabama, because they're angry after what happened at A&M This is, to me, this has the makings of a potential upset. Also because Alabama would still have time to overcome the loss if they do fall. What do you make of Arkansas's chances at home?
Well, you know, anytime you go to Fayetteville with the roster that they have and the momentum that they still have, even after a tough game against A&M, you know, you want to talk about teams losing games and not winning them. I think that's a great example of that. Here's the question. Here's what this game is going to come down to. You know, Alabama has some wide receivers that are starting to get healthy that weren't early, but Arkansas' secondary is really beat up. Catalan's out for the season. He was your best player. I believe you're going to have a starting corner that's going to miss that game, and you were already one of the worst passing defenses in the country. So you're actually turning one of Alabama's weaknesses, which is experience at the wide receiver position, and guys being able to create separation and get open, especially vertically and down the field. You're helping Alabama there. And we all know they're talented enough where if Alabama's ones are running against your twos, I don't care if you recruited well over the last two or three years with Sam Pittman turning that thing around, there's going to be a big difference in athleticism, and Bryce Young's going to know that. He's going to play to the matchups. And everybody will talk about the passing game. But one of the biggest questions for Arkansas coming into this year was the interior of the defensive line. You weren't as worried about the edge. You got Bumper Pool at linebacker. You did have somewhat of a healthy secondary. That's not the case anymore. But they have got to be able to stop the run and at least put Alabama in a position where they're predictable third and sevens, right? Third and sixes, where you know you're probably not lining up and getting split zone or counter or power or something like that. And then let Barry Odom do his witchery by mixing coverages, showing pressure, backing off, bringing pressure, doing things like that to be able to mix it up to give your offense enough chances to be able to move the ball down the field. How effective can KJ Jefferson be as a runner? That's going to be determined by how effective Rocket Sanders is as a runner. Because if Rocket Sanders keeps making Will Anderson and then think about crashing the mesh or maybe taking the back, that's the one or two times, three times KJ is going to keep it on the zone read outside of the quarterback design runs. So it's going to come down to how well Arkansas can run the ball, how well Alabama can run the ball. It came out as a 17-point spread. It's taken all my strength not to buy that thing at 17.5 right now. I do think Alabama's going to win the game, but in the last five true road games that Bryce Young's played in, four of them have been decided by 3 points or less. And while this Arkansas team is beat up, they're backed in a corner, similar to how A&M was after they lost to App State. They're able to beat Miami, which that win looks a little bit different now after last weekend, but it should be a hell of a game.
That's a really good capsule on that game, man. It was like you had studied for that question right before you came on. Good stuff, man. Really good stuff. Okay, Jake, big brother, little brother relationship, or are they peers? Clemson and South Carolina, big brother, little brother, or peers?
Man, I think to answer that, I think we got to look at the vastness of time. Right now, obviously, Clemson's big brother, South Carolina's not looking super hot. But over the course of time, I would say peers. But right now, big brother is Clemson.
Florida State.
I mean, I'd say peers. They both went on runs. They're both national brands. You're kind of looking at a resurgence at FSU right now. Got a big one against Wake at home this weekend to try and move to 5-0. But I'd say peers.
North Carolina, North Carolina State.
This one, after what Drake May said a couple weeks ago or last week, this one caught a little bit of a new flavor after you said that, you know, people that go to North Carolina State are the ones that can't get into North Carolina.
So Jake, true story here, true story. That quote is what gave us the idea to do that segment, okay? So that quote
really
from Drake
sense.
May, we took the quote and then we made it into a big brother or little brother segment, and we debated whether these different relationships are big brother, little brother, or peers based on that quote. So you were right on.
I would say North Carolina because the basketball is big brother.
Really? Wow. Michigan, Ohio State.
I know Michigan won last year, but they had what, lost 15 in a row? I don't know how Ohio State isn't still big brother.
Alabama, Auburn.
That's peers, man. That Iron
no Auburn way. No
time.
Way. No
I mean,
way.
Look at the numbers. Look at
no
the numbers.
Way.
I mean, Auburn's
I know
what?
You went
Seattle
to Auburn. Come
seven.
On, man. Come on.
They're
you
the
know,
only team that can beat Bama, Mark. They're the only team.
Jake, I'll tell you this. Oh, among our audience, that was the most obvious big brother, little brother of any of them on the,
well,
of them
again,
on the list.
Well, again, I mean, if we're just talking football, yeah, you know, Alabama's won a lot of rings, but when it comes down to, like, actual record against, it's pretty close. Then you look at basketball. Auburn swept them last year, made a Final Four. Alabama gets an NCAA tournament and pulls a Drew Barrymore and just forgets how to play basketball. Then in baseball, you got swept. Auburn went to Omaha. I mean, let's be real. Hell, I think we even beat them in gymnastics.
I think it's mostly football, and it's mostly recently. And you like, look, you do have the miracle kick return play.
Yeah, I was about to say, greatest college football play of all time, Mark. What was it?
You got it. You nailed it. Right?
Yeah.
You nailed it. And I, you know, seeing that play live was one of those you'll always remember where you were moments, right? Like that was
for
one
sure.
of those moments. And then last one, Oklahoma and Texas.
Oh, man, I think it's peers. I think they're both, you know, heading to the SEC. It's funny. I always, this is what I said when, you know, Oklahoma and Texas was like, yeah, we're going to the SEC, man. We're going to go in there and do well. You remember when Missouri went in there and did well? Well, how's Missouri doing right now? So, again, with Oklahoma and Texas coming in, everybody thinks it's Alabama and Georgia. That's what's the toughest. I wish it was that easy. I wish it was a one-off against Alabama or Georgia every year. But it's the gauntlet. You know, you're not playing Texas Tech over here. You may luck up and get Vanderbilt, you know, once a year. But, you know, going to Kentucky, LSU, Arkansas, Tennessee, Auburn, A&M, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, it's the grind. That's what makes the SEC the SEC. There's really never a week off, and there's always NFL players on the other side, unless you're playing Vanderbilt, and then they'll probably be the agents of the NFL players. But, yeah, I would say Pierce.
Jake Crane joining us. Jake, how much hate mail do you get?
You know, not as much as you think. I get some just for, you know, being at the Daily Wire. Because it's funny, you know, we don't really get political at all on the show, but you still have people that send in stuff that – you know, just call you things. I'm like, man, when's the last time I talked about a bill or something like that? It's like, we're talking about the Buffalo Bills. That's the last bill I talked about. You know, that's about it. But I mean, yeah, every now and then, or, you know, here's the thing. When you're opining, and you know this, when you're opining on a team or a game or something like that, you're going to upset the other team probably at some point. So I think the goal is you want half of them to love you and half of them to hate you, I guess. I don't know.
So you don't get anything that bad. That's really, really good to hear, man.
You know, what are we calling that bad? Like, I'm not getting – it's not like a Remember the Titans situation, you know.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't, you know, threatening my life, you know. They just kind of, you know, group you in this basket, I guess, because they don't know you.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Jake Crane, the show is called Crane and Company. It is part of The Real Daily Wire, and it airs 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time, 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Eastern
Time.
Yeah, Eastern. Eastern. You're close.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, 7:30 a.m.
No, yeah, I do that all the time. Don't worry.
Wow, screwed it up. Okay, no problem. Crane and Company. his name is Jake Crane. At Jake Crane _ is where you can follow him. We love having you on, pal. Thanks so much.
Guys, I really enjoy it. Diesel, as usual, good talking to you as well, my friend. Y'all be good.
All right, take care. Jake Crane, we will talk to him next week right here on the show. As for us, we've got Can We Stop? Coming your way on the flip side. Here on the show that gives you both sides. Offsides, Mark Ryan and Diesel, and we are the Fan Upstate. It's Offsides, Mark Ryan and Diesel, and we are the Fan Upstate. Rolling on until 7 p.m. Wonderful to have you guys with us. Texter says, didn't Eli Drinkwitz come from NC State before he went to App State? Maybe old coach. Is that right? Isn't
yes,
that Scott
did.
Satterfield? Okay. Maybe
no.
old coach.
No, Eli Drinkwitz came from NC State. That part is correct.
Okay. Maybe old coach Dorn rubbed off on him. That may explain why he acts shady like he does.
I believe he was also on Hugh Freeze's staff when Hugh Freeze was at Arkansas State.
Interesting. Interesting.
So he's been on Freeze and Doran's staff.
Texter says, and I agree with this texter, how has Clemson appeared to South Carolina? Three national titles and about a 10% higher all-time winning percentage and vastly better head-to-head wins. 100%. Like, seriously, 100%. How is Clemson appeared? Clemson and South Carolina are not peers, okay? Like, there's... I don't even think there are Gamecock fans who view themselves as peers to Clemson. The proof of that is they never wear their own gear. They're hiding in plain sight. Michigan J. Todd says, my least favorite person in sports. Oh, he doesn't like Jake Crane. Well, we like Jake Crane. He says OSU is not a brother to Big Brother to Michigan. Peers, I will accept. Peers, you will accept. But we are not a little brother to anyone. Yeah, Michigan J. Todd, when we did that segment, we said not a little brother. And he was wrong. He said 15 in a row, Ohio State won. They had won 8 in a row. But I think Michigan is consistently too good to be anybody's little brother, right? I think they're consistently really, really good all the time, you know? 71307 on the preferred home services text line. Just start your text with the word fan and away you go. It is time for us to do a little jam that we call Can We Stop? Something in sports that is really burning your brownies that people need to stop doing yesterday. Can We Stop? Starts right now.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Stop it.
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
You stop it.
All right, Diesel, what do you got?
All right, mine is not about sports, but mine, I think, is endemic of where we are in this country. Mark, have you seen on Netflix, which you might not have because I know you said you forsake all streaming services and the monthly bills they charge you, but there is a new show on there called Monster. It's a movie, or it's a show about Jeffrey Dahmer, and it's picking up a whole lot of steam. Well, because that show is now picking up steam, cancel culture has gone and dug back into one of my favorite artists. I talk about her on the show all the time, Katy Perry. And Katy Perry wrote a song years ago. I'm talking years ago, called Dark Horse, that has a lyric about Jeffrey Dahmer. The lyric says, she eats your heart out like Jeffrey Dahmer. And now cancel culture is going back to something she put in a song a decade or more ago, trying to cancel her for it. Like, can we stop, like, digging and searching for any and all references to something that is now pissing people off just to go back and retroactively, you know, bitch at somebody for it? Like, these people didn't care about this lyric until the show got popular. But now, all of a sudden, now we're going back after her. Like, they got to stop doing this. We got to stop doing this. It's like the people who find out that so-and-so got drafted to this team or got traded to that team. So what do? They start searching through somebody's Twitter to find anything potentially offensive that they might have said 25 years ago. Say, no. Team, you can't hire this guy. You can't draft that guy because he said something 15 years ago. We got to stop doing that.
Write him off forever. Okay, so, Diesel, I thought that a comic was in a safe space when he was doing his routine.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, like, okay, it's understand. We understand he's doing comedy. Comedy and jokes are kind of half-truths. We kind of get that. We understand that. But now is that not the case? I thought that lyrics and songs were a safe space. Go back and listen to any song that we jammed out to when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Listen to some of the lyrics. You know, fourth quarter, every home game, Madison, Wisconsin. What song do they play, Diesel?
Jump Around.
Jump Around. If your girl steps up, I'm smacking the garden tool.
Smacking a hoe.
Right. If a girl steps up, I'm smacking the bleep.
Well, this
is that politically correct? Of course not.
No, this played out in a fantastic example. I know you probably remember this EDM dance group called The Prodigy.
Of course. Oh, I
and
love
they had
The Prodigy.
They had a song called
Smack My B
Smack
Up.
My B Up. And I don't even know if the internet existed at the time. But anyway, the industry went nuts. How dare you write a song about this? How dare you have a music video that first person shows somebody prowling through dance clubs and nightclubs trying to find somebody, take them home, and smacking them around. And then, boom, camera turns around, and it's a woman. And they're like, ah, crap, we almost had them. They subverted that expectation,
yeah.
And I loved it. It was fantastic. We got to stop doing this. It's really, really toxic thing to do.
Can we stop? my friends, the stupid cut-ins of Aaron Judge's home run attempt during freaking college football games. What the hell are we doing? Seriously, folks. Like, this is beyond me. It's not the same audience, number one. College football fans, by and large, don't overlap with Major League Baseball fans. And the people watching Clemson Wake Forest do not want to be bothered with Aaron Judge cut-ins. Not only that, but that increased media attention just increases the chances that Aaron Judge isn't going to hit a home run. Imagine the nerves every time you step up to the plate, it's all over national television. Can you leave him alone? Can you let people watch their games, you know, in peace? The worst part about it was they kept cutting away from Clemson and Wake Forest in the most important parts of the game, and they took the volume off. It was like suddenly we're getting the Yankees volume, and it's like fourth down and six for Clemson. What? Like, what are you doing? This is not the same audience. We do not want both of these things, okay? Many people just like me have multiple TVs set up in their place, screens set up in their place for this very thing. Can we please stop this nonsense?
There's a very simple workaround for this, Mark. And I tweeted back to you about this the other day. It's called picture-in-picture. We've had it for decades. We've had picture-in-picture for probably 20 years. And all television is on a delay. So whatever you're seeing, if you're watching on TV, like on a cable package, you're probably watching something that in real life happened a minute ago. If you're watching streaming, it's sometimes up to 2.5, 3 minutes ago. So they know if Aaron Judge did something spectacular, right? They know well in advance. They know with 30 seconds minimum in advance whether or not Aaron Judge does something spectacular. So just put it picture in picture, mute it, and if he hits a home run, jump to it really fast and put the audio up. Otherwise, don't do it. Don't bother putting the audio up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, it's so dumb, and it was so annoying, and you're just frustrating your fan base. And, you know, what does that stem from, Diesel? It stems from ESPN is located in Connecticut. The Northeast is a baseball haven. This is not knowing your customer base.
Yeah.
This is not knowing who's watching your game and assuming that because Aaron Judge is a big deal where you are, that it's a big deal where we are. You shouldn't get to dictate what we care about. Diesel, they've tried to do that to us for years with the WNBA. And, like, the ratings are in the toilet. They've tried to force-feed us the WNBA for years. It's boring. It's not a good product. It has nothing to do with misogyny or anything like that. It's just boring. I love women's soccer. I love women's tennis. I love women's softball. WNBA is boring. We don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch highlights of it. It is boring. The ratings show you that people don't like it. So stop force-feeding us. Stop force-feeding us Aaron Judge. Like, I like him. I want to see him do it. If he's up to bat, I'll watch it if I want to. But don't make me do something. That's as annoying as can be.
Mark, I've got one more thing for you before we take off here. I know we're a couple of minutes over, but that's okay. It's our show. We can do what we want. Here is an audio, Can We Stop? It comes from a Starbucks barista on TikTok who says, we got to stop with all these life hack special orders. Listen to this.
By recipe, this drink is not supposed to be filled all the way up. Except when we see stickers like this, we know that customers are doing a hack and want the cup filled up. So we fill it up. But then we get talked to by management that's saying that that's not recipe and we're wasting product and we're not supposed to be using more than 4 ounces for drinks like that. Then the customer comes in and complains that their cup isn't filled up. And so then management tells us that we have to make the moment right. So then we fill the cup up. Stop with the hacks. Stop making minimum wage workers do circles for you. Just get a pumpkin spice latte.
That's great.
Stop ordering off-menu hacks. It's annoying. You're making people work harder. You got some employees inside who probably don't know that this is even a hack anyway. So you're making them jump through hoops just to satisfy you because you think, ooh, I'm cool. I know how to get them to do this thing. Stop.
What is
doing
the
it.
Sticker that they're wearing? What is that?
It's not a sticker that they're wearing. He's talking about the sticker that gets printed out that tells the barista what drink to make.
Oh, I got
so
you.
They
got
know you. What they typically see on a sticker. You know, they'll see grande, latte, add caramel. So they know they added a grande caramel latte. But if it has something weird on it, they know that somebody's trying to get them to make a drink that's not on the menu. And it's pissing off the barista. It's pissing off management because they're wasting product. It's pissing off the customer because they're not getting their cup filled all the way. So
I'm going to offer one exception to that, Diesel, and you heard me mention it today. And then we will go to the top five at five after this break. But the one exception is when perhaps your best item is not on the menu. And that is the case with the fried bologna, egg, and cheese sandwich.
Well, then I beg that question.
Original.
Yeah. Then I beg the question, number one, if everyone knows about it, why isn't it on the menu? Number two, who do you think you are making the chef, the cook, make something that's not even on the damn menu? You are saying that you are more important than what they decide to put on their menu. So you're doing it. You're doing the hack thing, the same thing that this guy is saying. It's annoying as hell. Stop doing it.
Well, the problem is, Diesel, that the owner of the restaurant brought me the sandwich, okay? He gave me the sandwich that is not on the menu.
Well, maybe it was supposed to be a secret sandwich just for you, and now you're blowing up his spot by telling everybody to go order it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You got to go order it, folks. You got to go order it. If it's the best thing on your menu, it's got to be on the menu. You know,
if a bologna sandwich is the best thing on your menu, then your restaurant's got problems.
You have no idea how good this is. And there's a lot of great things on Stax's menu.
I've been to Stax's menu. He runs a tight ship over there.
Yeah, it's really. But the fried bologna, egg, and cheese sandwich is the goat, man. That is the best breakfast sandwich you will ever have in your life. All right, up next, we've got the top five at five coming your way. The top five biggest sports stories of the day. The top five topics we're discussing. It's next here on Offsides, the Fan Upstate.